Chapter 29. Twigleg, the Traitor. Twigleg closed his eyes. He was waiting for Ben to brush him off his shoulder, or Firedrake to breathe dragon fire over him and turn him into some kind of bug. But nothing happened. It was very silent among the old columns. That was all. A hot wind blowing off the land to the sea ruffled the mannequin's hair. When still nothing happened, Twigleg opened his eyes and glanced sideways at Ben. The boy was staring at him with such horror and disappointment that his gaze cut the homunculus to the heart.
"You?"
stammered Ben.
"You? But what about those ravens?"
Twigleg looked down at his thin, spindly legs. They were all blurred because his eyes were full of tears. The tears ran down his sharp nose, dripping onto his hand and into his lap.
"The ravens are his eyes,"
sobbed the homunculus.
"I'm his ears. I'm the spy the professor heard about. I gave everything away. I told him that the professor had two of his scales, and you were looking for the rib of heaven, and were going to ask the blue genie the way, but...
He could say no more.
"I might have known it,"
snapped Sorrel. With a single bound, she turned on the homunculus, reaching for him with her sharp claws.
"Leave him alone,"
said Ben, pushing her away.
"What?"
Sorrel's coat was bristling with rage.
"You're not still standing up for him, are you? Even when he tells you himself how he's betrayed us to that monster?"
She growled, bared her teeth, and took another step forward.
"I felt all along that there was something not quite right about this little creep, but you and Firedrake were so crazy about him, I had to bite his head off, that's what!"
"You'll do nothing of the kind, Sorrel," said Ben, putting his hand protectively in front of Twigleg. "Stop carrying on like that. You can see he's sorry."
Carefully, he lifted Twigleg down from his shoulder and set him on the palm of his hand. Tears were still running down the mannequin's nose. Ben took a dusty handkerchief out of his pocket and gently dabbed Twigleg's face dry.
Nettlebrand was my master,"
stammered the homunculus.
I polished his scales and cut his claws. I had to tell him 1,001 tales about his heroic deeds. He could never hear enough of them. I've been his armor cleaner ever since I was made. Though what I was made from, I don't know."
He sobbed again.
"Maybe I'm only a lobster with snapping pincers myself. Who knows? Anyway, the man who created Nettlebrand brought me into the world as well. That was hundreds of years ago, and dark, cold, lonely years they've been, too. I had 11 brothers, and Nettlebrand ate them all."
Twigleg buried his face in his hands.
"He ate the man who made us. He'll eat you, too. You and all the dragons. Every last one of them."
Guinevere suddenly went over to Ben. Pushing back her long hair from her forehead, she looked at the homunculus sympathetically.
"But why does he want to eat all the dragons?" she asked. "He's a dragon himself, isn't he?"
"He's not a real dragon," replied Twigleg, sobbing. "He just looks like one. He hunts dragons because that's what he was made to do. Like a cat that's born to catch mice."
"What?"
Incredulous, Barnabas Greenbloom looked over Ben's shoulder.
"Nettlebrand isn't a dragon. What is he then?"
"I don't know,"
whispered Twigleg.
"I don't know what kind of creature the alchemist made him from. His armor is some kind of indestructible metal, but no one knows what's underneath it. Our maker gave Nettlebrand the appearance of a dragon so that he could get close to them more easily when he went hunting. All dragons know it's best to avoid humans, but no dragon would flee from one of its own kind."
"That's true," Zubayn Dakhalib nodded thoughtfully. "But why did the alchemist need a monster to kill dragons in the first place?"
"For his experiments."
Twigleg mopped the tears from his eyes at the hem of his jacket.
"He was a very gifted alchemist, as you can see. He discovered the secret of creating life, and I'm the proof of it. But he wanted more. Like every alchemist of his time, he wanted to make gold. Human beings are absolutely mad about gold, aren't they?"
Vida Greenbloom stroked Guinevere's hair and nodded. Yes, some of them, she said.
Well,
Twiglet continued in a trembling voice,
my maker discovered that the essential ingredient for making gold is the ground-up horns of dragons, a material even rarer than ivory. In the old days, he paid knights to go hunting dragons and bring back their horns for him. But the knights weren't killing enough. He needed more horns for his experiments, many, many more. So he created Nettlebrand, his own dragon killer.
Twigleg looked at Firedrake.
He gave him the shape of a real dragon, but made him much, much bigger and stronger. The one thing Nettlebrand couldn't do was fly, because the alchemist had made his armor from an indestructible heavy metal that even dragonfire couldn't melt. Then he sent Nettlebrand out hunting.
Twigleg fell silent for a moment, looking out to sea where the fishing boats rocked gently on the water.
He caught them all,
the homunculus whispered.
He came down on them like a terrible storm. My maker was carrying out experiments day and night, and then the dragon suddenly disappeared. Nettlebrand searched high and low until his claws were blunt and his limbs ached with walking, but they were nowhere to be found. My maker was furious. He had to give up his experiments, but he soon discovered that was the least of his worries. Nettlebrand began to get bored, and the more bored he was, the more violent and evil-tempered he grew. My maker created enchanted ravens to search the world for the missing dragons, but in vain. Then Nettlebrand, in his rage, ate all my brothers. He spared me only because he needed someone to clean his armor.
Twigleg's eyes closed as he remembered.
And then,
he went on quietly,
on a day when yet another raven came back without news of any dragons, Nettlebrand, the golden one, ate our maker too, and with him the secret of his own origin. But,
said Twigleg, raising his head and looking at Firedrake,
he's still searching for dragons. The last group he found escaped when two sea serpents and his own impatience robbed him of his prey. However, he's learned his lesson. This time he's waiting patiently for you to lead him to the dragons he's been searching for all these years.
The mannequin fell silent, and the others did not speak. A fly settled on Twigleg's thin legs, and he brushed it away wearily.
Where is he now? Asked Ben at last. Is Nettlebrand somewhere close?
Sorrel looked around uneasily. None of them have stopped to think that the golden monster might be quite near them already. But Twigleg shook his head.
No, he said. Nettlebrand is far, far away. I did tell him about the genie's answer, he added,
a small smile appearing on his tear-stained face.
But I was lying to him for the first time ever.